I want to thank Reverend Roberts.
Bless his heart. Thank him for being our
worship leader today.
I want to honor the assistant pastor, Reverend Smith, Reverend Jasper, and to my co-laborers in Christ Jesus who are here with us this morning. I consider it an honor. I didn't expect to be here in this capacity today, but I told the pastor whenever he needed me, just call. So
Amen.
He called and I answered.
All right.
And so I'm here. God bless.
Bless you.
I was looking at the bulletin this morning, and I was reading the scripture thereon. He that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant.
Right.
One of the key words in the vocabulary of modern man is freedom.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be free.
That's right.
Freedom is a major concern of people all over the world. Nations suffering under the heel of colonial oppression are crying today, we want to be free.
Yeah, come on, sir.
There are people living on an island of poverty in the midst of a sea of prosperity.
That's right.
They too are crying, we want to be free.
That's right.
Women are marching and even disrupting the legislative process in state assemblies. They are saying, we want to be free.
All right.
Students are protesting cutbacks and alleged injustices, are calling today saying, we want to be free. Even our children who don't know the right hand from the left hand are echoing the same thing, we want to be free. Freedom is a much-used word in our society today. Everybody wants freedom. Or in the vernacular of the streets, everybody wants to do their own thing. The question must be raised then is this. What is freedom? The dictionary defines freedom as being the absence of restraint, hindrance, or repression.
Well,
it sort of suggests that to be free means that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, whenever you want. That nobody can place any restraints on your actions. If that's freedom, nobody has ever been or ever will be free.
That's right.
Everybody is confined by restraints, hindrances, or repression. Man is at all times, in all places, and in all circumstances under some kind of limitations. I was thinking about the prodigal son who had a good home under his father's restrictions, but he wanted to get out, do his own thing. Packed his bags and left home, but then he found out that when they got out there, freedom was an illusion. And he found himself in dire circumstances. Until he went back home, he went back as a servant, but his father called him a son.
Amen.
But it's good to be here today. And I've been under stress. The lady that you all have been praying for so fervently is not doing well, and we have been running to and fro, and I'm a little tired, but so we're going to ask you to pray with me this morning as the Lord might use me to his glory and honor. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, if you'll turn to that, It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want to talk about citizenship this morning. Citizenship. We have a lot of young men today who are going from the place of their citizenship and going to different countries in Syria, joining up with the terrorists, coming back, killing the people that are the citizens of their own country. I don't know whether you get a chance to look to the news as I do, but I'm disturbed by this when young people are leaving their own country that they pledge their loyalty to go and learn to fight against it. So let me say this morning that I am proud to be a citizen of this great country of ours. I think that I'm a part of one of the greatest governments in the world. We have here the greatest political machinery ever built. And looking back, we can see some rough terrains that we've come through. But our founding fathers, sitting in Philadelphia many hundreds of years ago, just reached back across the centuries and selected the most coherent, the most practical, rational ideas that has ever possessed the mind of mankind. They began with the timeless idea in the Judaic Christian tradition that we all had one great creator who made of one blood all nations to dwell on the face of the earth. They looked to the prophets in Jerusalem and to the scholars of Athens. They borrowed from the Roman law of Augustus Caesar and the sense of charity and vocation found in the Christian church. And so America, in addition to an abundance of rich soil with deep, clear rivers flowing like crystal between her majestic mountains, expansive seas, and with trusted neighbors both north and south. With all of these endowments, she then has the further blessing of the richest heritage of ideas that any people could ever be bequeathed. And we ought to be extremely grateful this morning, church, as a people, having the most perfect system of government based on the distilled fragrance, the best ideas that man has ever conceived. And with these monumental endowments, the founding fathers brought the original 13 colonies into one nation. It was not perfect. Not everyone who came over on the Mayflower was a paragon of virtue. Some colonies were made up of paupers and vagabonds brought here to get them out of the mother country. And the initiative of slavery was an awful indictment of man who clamored to have their own freedom. However, with all of these imperfections and limitations, they sprang free from the tyranny of Great Britain and brought a new nation into being. But political liberties and national independence are not enough. Our liberty can lead to license and our independence to godless arrogance. We who are Christians understand that in addition to our political freedom, the soul of man cries out for spiritual freedom. A nation is no better than its people. The mere existence of a charter or a constitution does not make us great. Just having a flag, an army, and a navy does not make us great. Along with our political freedom, we must be spiritually free. Free from profane materialism, free from vulgar sensuality, free from childish and psychopathic racism, free from injustice, free from arrogance and contempt for the weak and powerless. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Nation after nation has crumbled in the dust of history and has been blown away by the winds of time. Oh, Pharaoh and Egypt passed away with his glory and splendor. The Assyria of Sennacherib was buried in the desert. The Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar has long since fallen. The Persia of Darius and Xerxes has been supplanted by Greece and Rome. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Dynasties rise and dynasties fall. And if America would be truly great, if her destiny is to be fully attained, she must be a nation under God. Amen. From the earliest of days, Baptists set themselves apart and made it plain for the civil government was one thing and the church was another. And while the civil government controlled a part of the human life, the church sought to bring about a spiritual transformation in the hearts of men. The civil government seeks to free us from high taxes and the such, but we in the church seeks to free men from sin and the devil. Emancipation from hate and pride, freedom from racism and dead religion. All right. This verse in Galatians says it all, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And remember, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. When Christ has set you free, you're able to see worth and dignity in all of God's children, from the least to the greatest. Paul said we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if the mind in us that is in Christ Jesus, we'll see worth in all of God's children. Christ saw worth in a slick tax collector like Zacchaeus. He saw worth in a woman being stoned in adultery. And he saw worth in a penitent thief on the cross. If Christ has set you free, you will value little children whose parents have neglected them. You will be able to see these aged and the sick who never made much money and who ought not to be ashamed to use stamps or to live in fear of illness. Live in filth and dirt. You will see worth in those who have suffered poverty and isolation, who thought that crime and drugs were their answer, who are piled in the jails and prisons, who are waiting for us to make a way of rehabilitation and commit ourselves to it. If Christ has set you free, you'll know what it means when he said, when I was hungry, you gave me no meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. When Christ has set us free, you'll see value in the least of the little ones. Christ sets you free, you want to see the quality of life improved and you want to see society humanized. You see beyond your own economic and social class, your own station in life, and you want to see opportunity expanded so that everyone will have a chance to see their own potential. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Some people have entered the race of life with some serious impediments. They have begun with illness or some dire poverty or in some moral climate that gave them no promise to have a decent life. But when Christ has set you free, you want to tell everybody you know what a blessing that you have found, what power propels your life, what for joy fills your soul, and what peace possesses your mind. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is now a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You want to spread the good news. Any man, you want everybody to know about Jesus. And this is not just a theory, not just an abstract idea. It's not just a fad. It's over thousands of years old. It has borne the test of time. He came into his own, and his own received it not, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Most people know about the Baptists.
insistence on the separation of church and state. They know a Baptist belief in baptizing only believers, those who choose their own on their own volition to be baptized to be disciples of Christ. We don't believe that a queen or a king or a parliament or a state legislature can make a person a soldier of the cross or a follower of the Lamb. We don't believe a person can be voted into the kingdom. We believe that an infant can be prayed for, blessed, and dedicated to God, but no one has the power to initiate anyone else into the kingdom of God. For if you dwell in the kingdom, you have to choose to obey God's commandments. Plead for the forgiveness of your own sin and experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again, not of flesh and blood, but by the water and of the Spirit. So we cannot accept the church state. We don't want the government controlling our religion. We believe that we should render unto Caesar that belongs to Caesar and unto God what belongs to him. We are citizens of two countries. We are citizens of this United States, and even though the nation is not perfect, it's ours. Her flag we honor, her praises we sing, and for her destiny we pray. But just where we are also citizens of a heavenly kingdom, from everlasting to everlasting, over which Jesus Christ is the Son of Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so today, right now, as I stand in this pulpit, I pray. I'm a citizen of this United States. I carry her passport. I pay her taxes. I obey, oh Lord, I celebrate her founding. But right now in this place, I'm also a child of the living God, a citizen of the heavenly, a member of the Church of Christ, and a dweller in the kingdom of God. And so I obey another law, an ethic set of laws. I follow another and a higher code of ethics. I honor another leader, even Jesus, the Son of God. I became a citizen of the United States by being born in the United States. I'm a citizen of that other kingdom because one day the Lord lifted me out of the fiery pit, placed my feet on a solid rock, put a song in my mouth, tell me to go and be peace and sin no more. And I'll tell everybody that I know that ever since that wonderful day, my soul has been satisfied. And I have a new name over in Zion. I have a new name. My old sins have been drowned in the sea of forgetfulness. Old account has been settled a long time ago. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And my salvation has been purchased by the death on cold Calvary's cross. And I'm so happy this morning that I'm saved. And so I live in the United States. And I honor her birthday. I want to beat a drum and blow a bugle for her. But I'm also living the kingdom of God. And I want to celebrate that too. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels postured for him. Bring forth the royal diadem. Crown him. Crown him. Crown him, Lord. Lord of all. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will come in, I will sup with him. Mm-hmm. The door is open today. Yeah. You have the invitation to walk through the door. The door is one of his names. He is salvation. He is the door by which we must come to him. If you're here this morning and you have not confessed him as Lord and Savior of your life, we ask you to come. This, as we live here, this is just a preparation for a better life. Eternal life. Life here is short at its best. I'm going into my 87th year. God has been good. But I know the angel is on his way. Soon and very soon, he's coming my way. So don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. The devil wants you to wait, but don't wait. Tell him, as Jesus said, get thee behind me and let me come. Won't you come this morning? He's waiting. If you move to this area, you don't have a church home. We read the covenant this morning. Say, when you leave one place, unite with another. The Baptists don't have what we call the Baptist doesn't have a second class membership. There's only one membership. It's if you leave one place and you come, you join there. Won't you come? Is there one? Is there one today? Thank you so much.